Hey, leaders and visionaries. Welcome to the Untamed Mind Podcast. I'm your host, Bree Johnson. I'm thrilled to be your guide as we dig into conscious leadership and personal growth. Our mission is simple: help you reconnect with your authentic self, untamed from who others taught you to be, and unleash the leader within. So whether you're a leader looking to deepen your impact or an individual yearning for greater fulfillment and joy, the Untamed Mind is your mentor on the path to becoming your true self. Welcome back to the Untamed Mind Podcast. I'm so excited. I have my business bestie, executive unschools advisor, and just an all-around stellar human, Jess Bergio. She has her own podcast, The Unscripted, which is an outstanding podcast. And I'm part of her Unscripted Mastermind. So many amazing things going. So I'm so excited to see where this conversation goes for us.
I know. I can't even believe we're here. It's squeal like a little kid.
I want to open the way I'll be opening all guest episodes and ask you, what does the untamed mind mean to you and to your work?
That's a great question. And of course, it's applicable because it is the name of your show, which I'm so proud of you for landing on this, because you listened to your inner authority telling you that the original couple of names that you had kind of thought of weren't the right name. And so untamed for me as a true creative is wild and free and expressive. And I feel like when I was able to feel untamed behind the chair in the salon, it allowed for my creative freedom to kind of be unlocked. And in that, knowing that I couldn't really do anything wrong, right? Hair is a creative art, right? We can give a bad haircut, but not necessarily like there's rules and then there's ways that we can go outside of the box. And so for me, untamed means you're able to color outside of the lines. You're able to kind of live a life that you decide and kind of show up in your own authority without worrying about anybody else.
Mm-hmm. I think you touched on that inner authority. And I have to almost give just praise to you and your work. You and I have been working together for many months, and we started when I was in a really different place. And I think what you just described there in terms of that freedom and that tapping into what is the inner authority is something that I have gained from our work together so much. And it was, you know, I think my intentions of working with you initially in a one-on-one capacity, yes, was helping me decide what the heck am I going to do after this massive pivot in my work life. But really at the heart of it was, you know, a lack of confidence and a lack of connection in the work sense to that inner authority. And that's exactly what I feel like I've transformed into through our work together. And I guess I want to go there because you've seen, you primarily work with entrepreneurs, but you've also had this really rich, diverse experience working with men, women in the salon capacity. And I'm so curious to go deep with you on this inner authority question and get at, why do you think so many of us lack confidence when, and this is what you showed me, you held up a mirror and said, here's all these things that you've done in your life and in your career. You've, you know, slayed in so many different areas, but that's not how I felt on the inside. So just what's been your experience working on this confidence activation? And what do you think is really at the root of why so many of us don't feel confident despite our past achievements?
So much to dive into right there, but I'll start from kind of the end. This is why I created Fuck Yeah Fridays, because we don't take enough time to celebrate our wins, big or small. Simple. Majority of people do not recognize what they do every single day in order to just show up. There's so much effort put in to get out of bed, to do the things we know we need to do, and live a life that we're even somewhat proud of. When we tap into the confidence that allows us to try new things or to go for that next thing or to go for that conversation with somebody that you want to say hello to or a business, I mean, it's applicable to anything. A lot of people lack that raw, unfiltered, untamed confidence to say, no matter what happens, I'll be okay. We know at the end of the day, majority of the time, that is actually the truth. No matter what, I'll be okay. That might be scary. It might be hard. I might not know the outcome. And I think when we know the facts, when we know what potentially could happen, it takes away that almost like heart-stopping fear of like, well, I could never. Who am I to think I could do something like that? It's already been done. Everybody's doing it better than me. I'll never be as good as that person. So we get trapped in this comparison that we have to do everything like everybody else. And so if we stay in that fear, if we stay in that comparison, it steals and robs every bit of confidence, even the most confident people have. I've done it to myself before, and I'm still human, and it still comes up for me. And that's why I've done things like mute people on social media that make me feel some type of way, less than, not like I'm ever going to achieve what they have. And I'm able to turn back inwards and see, well, what have I been doing that's working? How did I get through things that felt sticky and hard in the past? Can I use that as proof to help me take the next right step over here? Or even if it's not the next right step, it's the next step that's going to show me whether that was right or wrong. And I think there's a saying that's like, you know, if when you lose, you still learn. And I'm like, you can still learn a lot from quote unquote winning. It's all a matter of perspective, right? We have this whole black and white where you either win or you lose. And that's not true. I think a lot of times what feels like a loss can be just redirection. And so for me, just knowing that I can look back at the proof of my life as so many things not working out the way I thought they were going to, but almost for the better every single time. You know, as women, we want to know what's going to happen. If we could guarantee what would happen, so many people would take the jump to do certain things. If we knew that we'd be successful at said thing, we would probably do it 9 times out of 10. But because we don't know, we don't have any proof, we've never done it before. We have things like limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, all of the, you know, catchy words we hear now come up as a way to say, oh, that's not for me. I feel in resistance. This feels out of, quote, alignment. And really, it's just because you're new, you've never done it. You don't know what path to walk. It's like saying, I want to get over there. Well, no one's going to give you the direction, because the way I got there is going to be different than the way you get there. So, you know, when you came to me and we started talking about confidence, there was a lot that we had to unpack. But then also there was a lot of mirror work, like you said, that we had to see, wait, I have done really hard things in the past. You're right. Let me pull from that little bit of confidence that I had back then and give it a go here. So everything like in the confidence realm, I feel is different for everybody. We all have a different level of capacity that we feel we can take the action on. But it's interesting because it seems to be the thing that people come to me for is that little extra boost of confidence.
One of the things that I think is so real in both of our stories is how much our pivots have created that inherent sort of certainty that it's going to be okay. And you talk about like that feeling of failure or, you know, just if something doesn't work out the way that you expect, it will work out. And this has been such a powerful part of my story. And one of the limiting beliefs I had when we started working together, and this is a piece of this is human design as a manifesting generator. I had to learn how powerful it is. And it's in my energy to pivot and pivot and pivot. But one of the things that I resonated with so much in your story was when you talked about how painful it was to step out from behind that chair. And that just landed in my heart all last year as I was making the big move out of the law firm. And I think that's one of the self-confidence, I guess, strategies, if you will, or practices, is just acknowledging when we've made these pivots, when we've chosen ourselves, how that can build that inherent worth. But I'm really curious, you know, as you look back over the course of your career, what has been maybe a pivot that was really transformative and you kind of building the self-confidence in yourself and in your worth?
Yeah, well, speaking of human design, as a projector, I've learned that I have to go with the energy that feels right for me. And, you know, because there are the 5 different types of human design, we are always surrounded by different people doing things a different way. And so if you were raised by somebody who is a different design than you, you were taught to do things a certain way. And so when you try to do something differently, it's not necessarily like applauded or agreed with. And so I always felt like there was something wrong with me and that these little shifts and pivots that I wanted to make throughout my career were wrong. Well, it turns out they weren't. And that I'm somebody who can go really deep with somebody. One-on-one work is like where I thrive. And it's what I'm really good at. I get easily distracted. So if there's a lot of people, then a lot of times I can't tune in and listen because I'm distracted looking around. And so the biggest pivot came when I decided to take my health and fitness to the next level and start competing in bodybuilding competitions and figure competitions. That was kind of out of the blue, but it was something I really wanted to challenge myself personally with. And in doing that, I made the pivot to becoming a personal trainer also. But the way that I felt like I was able to step into that was I proved to myself that I could do the work on myself first, which is how a lot of people get into the coaching space. There's something inherently that they want to change within themselves. And so they start doing the work on themselves. They have a profound shift, whether it's through breath work or human design, coaching. You went through your own experiences and now you're like, this is something I want to help people with. And so that's how, you know, we can kind of pull like, hey, I was able to help a past version of myself get through something. I want to help other people work through this. And so that was the first time that I did something in real time, if you will, that I was like, hey, I could actually provide value because I went all in on myself in an arena and now I can turn around and help people. And because it was bodybuilding, people could see it physically, the changes. So kind of I was like my own marketing material, like, hey, you're looking really good. What are you doing? Well, glad you asked. This is also what I'm offering. And so I was able to parlay like a second six-figure business pretty quickly just by showing up in my own energy and walking the walk instead of just talking it, right? So that was like the first time I saw how I could take what I already knew, what I already loved, and then implement it. And so a lot of my behind the chair clients started becoming personal training clients too. So it was a really cool time to see like, if there's something I truly love and align with, I can make it a profitable business. And so that was the first time I was like, oh, I'm really good at turning things I love into businesses. Like I should just follow this path. Whereas everybody else around me picked one thing, stuck with it and was like, don't give up. You know, we always want to quit our jobs too, but we just know we got to put our 25 years in and we can retire. You're doing it wrong. You're just bored. You just got to figure out how to like push through, like don't quit hair. So I was brainwashed over and over that I shouldn't make the pivot. And I talked myself out of it. And I still to this day look back and kind of wonder what would have happened if I went all in on my, you know, health and wellness business, because it's still something that's calling me to this day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a perfect segue. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about is the relationship between confidence and physical health, well-being. You know, and I am reflecting on your self-care reset, for example, and how committed you are. One of the most disciplined people that I've ever met. In terms of showing up at the gym on the days when you don't want to, you know, you're just out there getting the job done, whether it's at your home gym, your out there gym. You recently did a live on supplements, which is so helpful to me. I'm sitting there taking notes. But it's such an important piece, I think, of your own confidence and the way that, you know, physical appearance, but also so much more importantly, like that inner just belief that you deserve to feel well and you're going to invest in it from a financial perspective. And that you're going to put the work in, whatever that looks like for you. Sometimes it's journaling, sometimes it's in the gym, or often it is. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, you talked the initial transition that you went through and kind of a pivot was when you began to incorporate the physical wellness, the personal training, and you're doing that for yourself. And then that migrated into helping other people with that. How important is it for women of a certain age? I think, especially when we're feeling these, and this is where I am right now, the sandwich effect. I've got caregiving responsibilities of two children. I also have some caregiving responsibilities for aging adults and loved ones. So we've got this crunch, and it's so hard for us to prioritize ourselves, for us to feel like it's a worthwhile investment, either financially or of our time, that we can actually do it, not just sell ourselves the story that we're way too busy to do this. And you've just, from the outside, right, I want to go deep and talk about how you have just integrated this in your day-to-day so that it's seamless, or at least it looks seamless, and what are some of the things that you've really tapped into in this space?
You know, it's wild. As you say that, I do feel a sense of pride that I have been so consistent with that. I just don't like to not feel good in my body. The pain point is strong enough for me that I don't care what anybody else thinks of me. I care so much about how I feel, how my clothes feel when they are on my body, how I feel when it's time to throw a bathing suit on, when my hair is not done the way I like it, whether I have gray hair, whether my brow, like you name it, call me vain, I don't know. But also in our physical body, we can kind of intuitively know like the size we're supposed to be. I you know, it's just, I can't even really explain it fully. It's a very visceral thing for me. And so knowing that if I do the things that I do each and every day, not only will I physically look closer to the way I want, I will feel so much better. And for me, I truly believe like I have been undiagnosed ADHD like my whole life, which is why I think I made such a great hairdresser, because there was music on, I could move my body, I could talk all day, I didn't have to sit down. Like I was able to just move consistently all day long. And it wasn't until now working from home now as like, you know, doing stuff online and that I really noticed, oh my God. Wow. And my son was recently diagnosed a couple of years ago, and I was in there with the testing with him, and I literally, you know, we had our masks. So I was literally crying under my hat because I was like, wow, like every single question she asked him, I felt that like I knew he answered the same way I would have answered. And so sharing that as someone who struggles with, you know, the need to move, and the inability to sit still for really long periods of time, exercise calms my nervous system down. It, to me, was my first form and experience of breath work. When you've ever pushed yourself on a treadmill or a walk or on the Stairmaster or whatever, a workout class, that release of endorphins, that cortisol that is released, and all of the good stuff that you feel, there is nothing that can replace it. It's why people love to do drugs. You know, that feeling is euphoric. And I used to do hot yoga, and that I hated every freaking minute of it. It took an hour and a half. It was like a 2.5 hour process from by the time you got there to the time you left. But there was nothing like the second you walked out of that door when the cool air hits your face. And so if you know, you know. But to tie it all and explain why the discipline's so important, it's because I've fallen off too, just like everybody else. And I knew the results that happened from falling off. I wasn't as, you know, in tune with my body. I wasn't as energized. I didn't have the consistency piece of at least doing that to then prove to myself that I could be consistent in other areas of my life. It's like, see, you're not consistent there. You're never going to be consistent anywhere else. And I won't go as far as to say how you do one thing is how you do everything, because I do believe there's certain people who can compartmentalize really well and are extremely good at business and terrible in their home life. So I don't believe it's that saying is true, but I do believe all of us are striving for some sort of balance. And so for me, like, my son sees me set my alarm on my phone at 4:30, and he's always like, "Mom, that's just so early." And I'm like, "Well, I want to be present and ready to go for you at 6:45 when it's time to wake you up, make you breakfast. I want to spend time with you in the morning. I want to feel connected. I want to have my mind clear and my stuff ready to go so that I can fully focus on my kid." So he was the second component of really getting myself in a consistent, you know, energetic place. But even today, I was showering. My first client actually canceled my 9 a.m. And as I'm in the shower at 9 a.m., which is kind of late, I thought to myself, I need my mornings back. I have been putting stuff on the calendar a little bit too early, and I'm not getting my consistent full workout and the things I like to do in the morning done. And I was like, that's it. You can control that. Change your schedule. Go through the calendar, change what you can, adjust things. And knowing that I have that time set for myself changes everything. I'm able to be more productive throughout the day. Excuse me. So that's kind of like the gist of it.
Mm-hmm. There's something about this that I've got in a newsletter talking about spring cleaning. And this for me is absolutely a piece of the spring cleaning, which is, what are those habits? What are those tasks? What are those activities that are happening on a regular basis that aren't serving your ultimate goal? And for me, I just have to relate so much to what you said about how you just feel better when you're integrating wellness on a regular basis, when you're staying consistent, when you have that set and you can ease into your day, that's so important to you in how you feel. And I think the biggest thing is, without a doubt, and I think this is what a lot of, you know, I've been in corporate, I've been in major law firms, and it's what a lot of people overlook, is that it has such a relationship to how you show up in the work that you do. If you don't feel well, if you feel crummy, that's going to go into everything you do. If you know, one of the things that you and I talked about very early in our work was some supplements that have been, and it was some basic, it was calcium, magnesium, zinc, vitamins A, B, and D, I think I've now taking on a regular basis, thanks to you. And so it really falls into the camp of small hinges swinging big doors that make a big move for me to be able to focus on my work, to jump in and actually make an impact more quickly, to stay focused so that I can, you know, 30-minute spurts of invested core time because I do my daily walk, because I know that that's coming. And here in Minnesota, I have to, the thing, I guess, that is interesting and maybe just a point of distinction is I don't, and this is just me, but I don't have a morning routine that includes my wellness practice, like a walk or a workout. In part because in Minnesota, the weather's not as great first thing in the morning. And so, and obviously we're just coming out of winter. So that'll change, but there's like a seasonality to how I structure. But without a doubt, when you're talking like that dopamine hit, that all the rush of the positive endorphins that flow through the body. And I recognize if in the past few weeks, because of travel, I've had to miss maybe 3-4 walks, I don't feel right missing that pumping of the arms, the getting the blood moving, and just moving the body, any stale energy. It's like my peace practice. And it is, I just go back to how important that peace practice is to actually doing a great job at work. It's so important.
So important. And, you know, to the point of the supplements, like we talked about it being an investment, supplements are not cheap. Like, I probably spend anywhere from 100, 200 bucks a month, whether I'm re-upping things. And I'm always adding new things in to test to see how they do in my body as I get older. I'm 43. And because I do expend a lot of energy, both mentally and physically, I do need to supplement because I don't probably eat enough of those vitamins and minerals in order to not need the supplements. But I think getting your blood work done to see where you really are, like, deficient in things can help you if you're just getting started. Maybe you're just vitamin D deficient. So maybe you start with that. Maybe muscle cramps is an issue when you work out or when you don't drink enough water. Magnesium can help with that. Calcium, as we get older as women, we definitely need that. Magnesium also helps the calcium be better absorbed into your body. Magnesium can help you sleep. Magnesium can help you go to the bathroom if you have bathroom issues and you don't need enough fiber. B vitamins help with mood. All of these things I found are definitely like my life hacks. And so anytime I'm not feeling good, extra zinc, extra vitamin C, I stay away from the sugar. I drink a ton of water. There's so many ways that we can still enjoy life, right? You can still have your treats. You can still have all of the things, alcohol, even if you want. But you have to be able to put back in the tank what you're taking out. And so, you know, even though you don't have a quote unquote morning routine, you've done some extreme things that have shaped and helped you, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. You gave up drinking. What? How long has it been?
It'll be 2 years in 5 days, I think.
And you posted a picture not that long ago. Like, you look like a different person. I mean, you've lost weight, significant amount of weight it looked like, the bloating, just the clarity in your eyes. So there are certain things you can do if maybe a morning workout or a cold plunge isn't available to you, because I do definitely mirror off of the energy of, like, if the sun is out, I'll feel like I want to go hard. I want to go outside for walks. Yesterday, I ended up being outside multiple times. Any opportunity I can to take a call on a walk, to listen to my podcast if I'm walking. Like, even this morning, I was in bed doing my social media stuff. And I was like, get dressed. You have a treadmill in the garage. You could be doing this on the treadmill. And so that's what got me out there. And then good music kept me going. And then that call canceled. And I was so ecstatic. I turned the music up even louder and, like, did an even longer workout. So there are moments where we can really get ourselves excited to do these things that maybe sometimes feel like a challenge to some people. If you didn't grow up as an athlete, or if you didn't grow up, you know, needing to move your body, the only thing I got to do as a kid was go outside and play. So for me, getting to go outside and play now is a privilege. And I try to let myself and make myself do that, because it is where that untamed comes in. That place where I'm not stimulating myself from stuff that's on social media or TV or a book or a podcast even. I let myself go for walks. I call them clarity walks, where I don't bring my phone. I don't bring anything. And I let myself just have these conversations and I talk things through with myself. And then that's when you start to trail off and daydream. I mean, when's the last time you gave yourself a chance to daydream? During my workouts, that's where I have my best downloads. I have my best inspiration hits. I literally, like I said, realized that was my first form of breath work. If you've ever made yourself run really hard, you get sometimes an emotional release and it's like, whoa, what was that? Like, I've been brought to tears before where I didn't know what was happening. And then when I discovered breath work a couple of years ago and I had that same thing happen in breath work, I'm like, oh my God, this is why people call it a runner's high, or like different things come through for people in workouts, because it's that release of stuck energy that we all have inside of us. We all have days, right? Life set us. And we need to be able to process that. And if you're a servant leader, if you are someone who is a service-based person, right? I served people all day long for 22 years. I needed to be able to release some of that. And so working out for me in the morning, like, was a reset button for me every single day. And when I missed it, I was not the nicest person. So therefore, me working out benefits not just myself, but everybody in my life.
Without a doubt. You know, and I think there's something about the way we become more sedentary in our work, you know, and I can't speak to you, obviously, what our parents did, but it was interesting because I had, you know, my bonus mom is a respiratory therapist. And so she was walking around the floor constantly. There's not a lot of sitting going on. My dad was a medical sales. So he traveled a lot and he was driving in the car, but then he would be walking around hospitals and things of that nature. So at least the models that I had were not as sedentary. So perhaps that was why I didn't see a commitment to any kind of workout or wellness practices really modeled for me. And now why it's become so important. And I think there is, it's just been my experience that in my 20s, I wasn't focused on it. I was, you know, late 20s, 28, I was pregnant. You know, there was some walking that happened, but not like the commitment that I have now, because it is that to the best of my abilities, seeking to sort of future-proof my ability to stay active, to, yes, I love the clarity and the downloads and all of the beautiful things that without a doubt comes just because I'm moving my body, not scrolling, not using those other unhealthy vices that I used for so long. I'm finding new outlets and it's unlocking like different levels, I would say, of myself that I hadn't had access to before.
That's so good. And you know what just came through as you were saying that? I just envisioned myself yesterday when I walked into the gym. I have been going to the same gym near my house. It's like an old school bodybuilding gym since I was 24 years old. I'm 43 for context. And it was the first gym I was introduced to where like bodybuilding was kind of like a thing. And I remember walking into that gym and seeing those women and those men and thinking, holy shit, like, where am I? Like, these people are like a different breed. Cause I was like 24-hour fitness or your local club gym, right? Where everybody kind of just always looks the same. Nobody looks like they're making progress, you know? And I was like, wow, these people take this seriously. And I was like, so if you want something, if you want results like this, this is how committed you have to be. And so when I decided to go all in on competing, I didn't even know what I was getting myself into. It's how a lot of people get into entrepreneurship. They don't know what the F they're getting themselves into. They have no clue. They just see the possible goal of what could be, right? People pronounced on social media, making six figures, seven figures, businesses like this, travel the world. For me, I could literally physically see this is what this person looks like, and this is what I watch them do every day. Who do I need to hire in order to tell me what to eat, how to sleep, what to do? Cool. I followed the plan. I won my first show. And I was like, it's easy. There's the format. It wasn't easy. None of it was easy. It was a mental fuck. It was challenging. Every day I wanted to quit, very much like entrepreneurship. So when I look back as to why like I haven't quit in this leg of my business, if you will, I'm like, oh yeah, you've done a lot of really hard things that really didn't have any other goal other than like I wanted to compete. Nothing really came of it. I had a great business over there. And I'm sharing this because, you know, I'm, again, 43 now, walking into the gym. There's so many young kids in that gym now, and I train right next to them. And I always think, I wonder how old they think I am. Or I'll see the young guys in there, and I'm like, Jess, don't look at those guys. They're 25, right? I'm like, I can still check them out. And the reason I'm sharing this is because I feel so good that, like, not in comparison, but this is where healthy comparison kind of can come in, where you're like, I still got it. I can hang with these young kids. I can still do just as many pushups. I can still do just as much weight on the bar or whatever that looks like. Use like find yourself in the story. And I'm sharing that because now any gym I go into, any workout class I go into, I am confident. And that confidence in the gym transfers into so many other arenas in my life. Rooms with women I don't know that are seemingly more successful than me, I feel confident. I feel confident because I have a pool of confidence to pull out of. And to just tie that all together, that's, I think, really why, and it's the common theme that I've found in most successful entrepreneurs is they have a very regimented health and fitness practice that they follow. It's not all the same. Everybody does something slightly different, but majority of them are taking care of their bodies, taking care of their mental health, and making sure that they're staying up to par with those things because they know they're going to be able to perform better, their productivity is better, they're going to be able to think more clearly. People are attracted to people who are consistent and do what they say they're going to do. It just is fact, like 100%.
Yeah. Say it again, right? Commitment leads to confidence because...
Yes.
Now, it's interesting. One of the pieces for me that's been kind of a missing link in my well-being armor, if you will, is the strength training. Mm-hmm. And because you talked about the gym and how like that little bit of, you know, I want to be able to hang with the young bucks, right? Like that does come through and that's so powerful. I started personal training last week and I've known it's missing. It's like, but the gym, it's been an intimidation factor for me. I was a swimmer. So winters were spent in the gym room, but frankly, the football guys, you know, Josh included, you know, they can do so many different things. It wasn't like there was ever an emphasis on the way that we as women should lift. It was just go like sling some heavy weight, just like the boys, like your bench press and this probably terrible form. And that was like my last indoctrination to gym life. I've done a few bouts of personal training since then, but haven't just kind of gotten into a rhythm and the strength. And yet, again, being relatively sedentary in terms of my job, you've heard me whine about some of my back problems that are starting to come in. So this time around, I'm like, all right, I need to get serious. It looks like me showing up in the gym. This woman's got a garage gym. We're throwing heavy weight around. I haven't been able to walk all week. It's great. It's great. She goes to me. She says, yesterday I had a one-on-one session. My sister's doing it with me too, which is really cool. And but my sister wasn't able to be there yesterday. And the trainer said, well, I really think I can get you a six pack. Do you want a six pack? Have you ever had a six pack? Was like, yeah, I did when I was a swimmer. That was a long time ago, 20 plus years ago. And who would say no to that? Like, sign me up for that. Like, yeah, let's get strong. Like, that's exactly what I want. And it's funny how just answering that question and reflecting on like, do I want a six pack? Fuck yeah, I want a six pack. Let's go. Like, I want to get strong because I see exactly what you're talking about. I feel it on the inside after I'm done with the workout with her and I've, you know, moved heavy weight around or I've surprised myself by being able to do something that felt scary. I did pull-ups the other day. I did some weird ab curls where I'm holding myself on the bar. I'm like, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to do this. And then you do it and you show up. And time again, you do over and over. And that's where at least my confidence is coming from in large part right now, is that inspiration that I'm getting from doing hard things, things that I said all three times that I've done this personal training, I'm not really feeling like I want to go, right? It's just like, it's the motivation isn't what's important. It's the commitment.
Yep. And the commitment is what will give you the pride at the end of the day. Like, I think a majority of people work towards feeling a sense of pride. What will we feel fulfilled by and what will give us a sense of pride, right? And then in between all of that comes that comparison of, well, they look like they're happy, so maybe I should do that. And that's where like the premise of even my book, Come As You Are, it's like literally the art of unbecoming who they, whoever they are in your life, told you to be. Majority of us wake up halfway through our adult life thinking, well, how the hell did I get here? Well, you know how you got there. Someone told you to go that way, or you were encouraged to go that way because your environment was telling you that's what it was acceptable, or that's what was, you know, profitable, or that's what's going to give you the XYZ factor. And at the end of the day, you even probably have experienced this, but now that I've been a coach for the last 5 years, I have really noticed so many people are not doing the thing they actually want to be doing. And that's why there's so much indecision or decision fatigue, if you will, in the online business space, is because the world is our oyster. Anything is possible now. When we were kids, when we were in high school, when we were younger, 20, 25, 30 years ago, these things that are now available to us didn't even exist, let alone they weren't jobs. They weren't the thing you went to your career counselor and talked about. There was no like college degree for half of the shit that's out there right now, right? Business coaching, life coaching, wellness coaching, transformational coaches, confidence coaches. It's why none of those terms like landed for me when I was trying to really settle into like, who am I in this season and how can I help people? And so I kind of just let my energy show up and bring in whoever it was calling. And so even to this day, like I do have still a hard time kind of labeling myself. And it's kind of how I landed on holistic life and business coach, because I holistically, right, as a whole, worry about your well-being and how you're showing up. And so I've also learned a lot through asking questions. And that's why having a podcast is so powerful after almost 300 episodes and being on countless other people's shows and having all those women and men sit in my chair over 20 years, I got really good at asking questions, but the deeper questions, right? Because most people come to you with some sort of surface level problem, issue, complaint, block. And it's generally a three levels deeper as to what's really going on, as to why that thing's even an issue. And so when we can go a little bit deeper, it tends to unlock so many other things that we think are the actual problem or the block. And so for me, I've noticed that getting to the root causes of things is the thing. And so if the root cause of you not having energy or the root cause of you not having enough hours in the day, it's because you probably need to move your body and supplement with healthy things and eat better. You probably need to talk to somebody about a few things that are bothering you. And so that's where like my kind of zone of genius comes in. And there are a lot of amazing people like me that can help you do things. And I think when we realize that we need help, it's the most powerful thing you can do is to kind of raise your hand and say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. Who can help me? And the quicker we can find the who's in our life, the easier the how's become. The how's just kind of present themselves after you figure out the who. Who has done what I want to do? Who has walked before me a path I think I want to walk? And how can I get into their world? When I wanted to be a competitive bodybuilder, I asked the local bodybuilding guy. Who's the best female trainer? He said, Gina. You got to meet Gina Aliotti. Gina's now been one of my longest running friends. She owns a company called Volare, where we have a product called Flocus that helps you drop into flow and focus, because Gina and I struggle with dropping into that flow and focus because life is so crazy and chaotic. But I found the best person. I paid the coach. I did the thing, won the show. So, you know, when you can show yourself results, whether they're big or small, that's what's going to be the catalyst for you to, like you said, find some sort of commitment to something to then have the confidence to build. It's not like you get the confidence first and then find the commitment. You got to commit to the decision to at least go down a path long enough to figure out if that's the right one. And then you got to be able to be brave enough to throw your ego and pride in the trash if it all of a sudden doesn't feel aligned for you anymore. If you stay in a situation because you put time into it or you're worried what everyone else is going to think, you're going to be living a life for somebody else. You're going to be just as miserable as you were before you tried to go down this other path. And so that's where I think even for you and I, like the discernment on back to what do I want to be doing? Who would I want to be serving? And how do I want to be showing up? And so while we're talking about health and wellness, we're talking about workouts, we're talking about nutrition, that stuff plays a really key role in help you being able to make these big decisions. When your mind is right, when your body's right, when you're coming from a grounded, centered place, you can make decisions a lot better when you're regulated. When you're dysregulated and you're in a place of scarcity and like, holy shit, I got to do this just because I need to make money, or this is what everyone else is doing, so I'll do it too. You know, that's not going to last. It's really hard to, you know, do things like somebody else or to be like somebody else because you don't know how they got there and you don't know what it took in their experiences. So I hope that little bit can kind of shift anybody who's listening, thinking like, oh, well, you know, I already take vitamins or I already do this or I already have a workout, you know, but can you optimize it even more? Are you doing the most you can with what you have? And it doesn't always look like you have to wake up at 4:30 in the morning. That's just the time I choose to wake up. And it allows for me to have 2 hours to myself in the morning uninterrupted. And I'm a projector in the human design scale. If you don't know, I love my alone time. So if I got to wake up at 4:30 to read my book in peace and quiet, that's what I do.
Yeah. Awesome. You know, one of the things I want to brag on your zone of genius just a little bit more and kind of shift. You know, one of the things that I see in terms of how you've shifted for me is you've brought about better balance. So a lot of women, you know, myself included, have this goal or objective to be balanced in our work and our like home life, right? And so the way that I've seen you do this and the way you've helped me really integrate that is, yes, I have this focus on my business and growing executive and school. And then there's this wellness side and the well-being side is like the feminine side. And I wanted to bring this up because you have an event coming up that I'm so excited about. And you have just, you're bringing in people and you're setting the vision already for balancing this masculine, kind of the work and the biz focus with the feminine. And I think you're doing it in such a unique way that is going to lead to transformation for me, because I'll be there as well as anybody else who is coming to this event. And so, and I just think it shows up in all of your work, and it certainly shows up in how you coach and advise someone like me who is starting a business, who needed confidence activation in both areas of my life, both in my work and in my well-being overall. And it's like leveled me up to a whole new level of balance. And I just want to give you some space to talk about this event, because if anybody else is hearing what we're talking about and you want to actually, I think experiencing it firsthand can be such a stepping stone. And you and I met in a really cool community space more than a year ago. And so, and that was my first foray to in this whole online world and in a community in such a different way and in a networking group in a different way. And so your event could be that for someone else who's listening. And so if you could spend just a few minutes talking about it, I'm so excited about it. I booked my ticket already. Like, is it June yet? I mean, come on.
No, come on. I want it to be June tomorrow. Honestly, thank you for that. And you are like a dream client. You're someone who takes action. You're somebody who is willing to do the work, even when it's hard and sticky. You're someone who takes the advice and actually like thinks for themselves, because, you know, even though you've hired me to help you along the path, you've still pushed back on things. You've still made your own decisions. You've still found discernment in what you know to be true for yourself and what you are hearing through the stories and the stuff that I share. So I really just want to give you credit and kudos for that, because that's really like the perfect marriage between mentor mentee is someone who's willing to also not just show up and be like, tell me what to do. Who's like, help me figure out the next right path for me, walk alongside me, guide me, hold space for me. And that's what we're going to do in real time at Unscripted Live, which is our retreat, June 6th in Scottsdale. And it's a culmination of all of the things that I've put on and also been a part of over the last really 15 years. Personal development has been a huge thing for me and entrepreneurship as well. Both my parents were entrepreneurs. I saw how not to do it and how to do it. And then I also had the amazing opportunity to be mentored by Chris and Lori Harder over the last really 7-8 years and be inside of their mastermind, also work for them, host my own retreats, all of the things, podcasting, selling a business for profit, and then starting a whole new space online. So there will be a lot packed into the day, but a lot of intentionality around creating time to network and connect with one another. Morning flow will be movement, energetics. We'll be dropping into like working in your own authority and, you know, really choosing to do the things by your own design. Lunch will be networking. And then the afternoon, we'll really drop into business masterminding, where we'll share time on each other's businesses and really talk about what's coming up for you? What are the blocks? What are the things you need? Who do you need to be introduced to in order to get you to the next space you want to be? And then also, we're going to be leaving with accountability partners. So it won't just be a one-day thing. We'll have some really good take-homes to implement. I'm a huge fan of having some sort of goal or plan when you leave an event, because oftentimes we're left kind of in this like high vibe lurch, and then we have to go back home and we have no tools and we have no connection to the place that we were just at. So again, it's a real culmination of everything that I've learned and taken. You are actually coming a few days early because we are ending our mastermind time together. Brie was a one-on-one client, and then she came into the mastermind that launched back in February, the Unscripted Mastermind. We will be opening up spaces for that again in July for the round two. This mastermind's been really cool because it's taught me a lot, having been inside of masterminds myself and then also a coach inside of one. The dynamic and the differences between people is really what makes a mastermind amazing, because we all have different experiences and we come together with our different perspectives and we're able to really hold space for one another, listen, pour in, and everybody shows up in a different energetic frequency. Everyone's there for a different reason. And I think that's a beautiful part about being in a group containers. So if you've been interested in a mastermind, maybe you've been a little intimidated by one, like you are with the gym, one day events can kind of quench that, where you can walk in by yourself, meet new high level people, have some awesome like downloads probably come through for you, do a little bit of the energetics of the feminine, and then maybe tap into a little bit of the masculine. You don't even necessarily have to have a business in order to be able to come to one of these. You can just come, receive, be a part of the magic. And if you do have a business, this is a great way for you to network and build connections and also get some real hands-on coaching in your business. We'll have some amazing speakers there. But yeah, you can tell I'm fired up for sure. I'm super stoked.
Yeah, and I'll include the link to the event in the show notes here so that if you're interested, you can click in. And I'm going to, this is not like a salesy, but I do think if it's something that you're interested in, to jump on it, because I just believe this is going to sell out. I feel like you're going to fill the space. I think that what you've done and the reputation and credibility that you have in the industry and the transformations that you've been able to support and guide is really outstanding. And this event is going to, it's just going to thrust that forward even more. And then I didn't realize you were kicking off another mastermind in July. That's phenomenal. And we should do another episode and just talk about what the mastermind has meant and how I can talk about that from my perspective. It's meant so much to me. And I agree that these connections, it's a really cool way to build connection with one another. And I feel like I have people that I can both lift up. They're lifting up what I'm doing, and we're just all rising together. And it's this really cool experience that you've facilitated in your mastermind.
Thank you. Yeah. And for anyone, you know, if we want to be sold to. So if you're listening, and no, we never mean for anything to be salesy. It's really just to share. And that's all sales and marketing is sharing something that you fully believe in that you think could help somebody else. That is how we sell our products. That's how we sell our services. And if you don't truly believe in what you're selling or you're offering, you probably are selling or offering the wrong things. But if you can get really excited and talk to the person who these things are for, that can help drive sales and marketing in such an authentic way that it never feels like you're having to sell or market. And so, you know, put that in your back pocket if you're someone who's looking to build something or sell something. And I'm a projector. So again, I'll keep referring to that. I love a good invitation. So I actually spent the whole morning sending personalized voice notes in the DMs to anybody that I would want to come to my event. And it, you know, it's those unscalable things that will help you build deep, lasting networking connections that no matter what, whether these people say yes or no, they just knew I was thinking of them. And for me, that was kind of like a fuck yeah, where I got to look back at all the people I've ever had chats with in the DMs and think, how cool that I put in this much time networking, showing up, doing the things, building relationships, that I have this many people to send an invite to. And so if you're in the early stages of building and you're still trying to figure things out, or if you're new to Bree's world in this podcast, we'll talk about podcasting. We'll talk about everything. She and I, obviously, she'll be there too. So you'll get to pick her brain. That's almost like an added bonus. And, you know, she's proof that you can take something that's happened in your life and that you've gone through and a career that you thought was it, and fully make a pivot in your life and do really crazy, amazing other things using your experience to then help other people enjoy their work even better. And I hope when you're on this podcast, you realize how much Bree cares about people. That's literally like her core love language is, how can I serve you? How can I help you? So I know this podcast is just going to be so amazing. And again, I'm just so proud of you. Thank you for having me on as a guest.
Thank you so much. You are a wonderful first guest. Just perfection. So thank you so much for joining me on the Untamed Mind. And no doubt Jess will be out again. And check out the show notes for great ways to get in touch, as well as her June 6th event coming up. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us on the Untamed Mind podcast. I'm your host, Bree Johnson. Remember, the journey to becoming more authentically you looks like a steadfast commitment to your values and to untaming your mind. Stay tuned for inspiring conversations, practical tips, and a roadmap to a more balanced and joyful life. Until then, keep on thriving.